Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The Mets seem to be moving on from P. Alonso. The NBA hits the midway mark, and Jonathan Barrera joins us on the In Route. But we'll begin today's show with the AFC Championship game, where the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills 32-29. Josh Allen had his most efficient season as a pro. Joe Brady had a balanced offense. And defensively, Buffalo forced KC to make adjustments, but they still lost. Josh Allen is now 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. Z, at this point, can Allen ever overcome his KC woes?
Whoa. If this was going to be the year, right? Like, with all intents and purposes, Joe Brady figured out that they have a good running back in James Cook. Josh Allen was playing the best football he's played. You had a defense that was getting healthier, right? And the Chiefs are not world beaters. The Chiefs have looked very ordinary, dare I say, lucky in a lot of their games to be where they were. If not now, when? When Mahomes retires? When Kelce and Taylor Swift break up? Like, when? Like, this was it, man. This felt like it was such a gut punch. Now, naturally, the internet, X, the cesspools that are social media are talking about the 4th-and-1 play with Josh Allen, where he got turned sideways. Gene Steratore said he got enough. Tony Romo said he got enough. You know who didn't say he got enough? The officials. The refs. They said, first down, Kansas City. Did it look like he got enough yards? If he did, barely. It's not that he wasn't so clear over the line that he needed to gain, that, you know, it was an egregious hose job. If that feeds the idea that you have that the Chiefs are the chosen favorites of the referees, then that's what you're going to see. Do I feel that way? Sometimes, because it's pretty egregious with some of this shit. Some of this stuff is extremely egregious, like that play against the Raiders. That one, the Josh Allen one, that could have gone either way for me. If they called it a first down, I would have been fine with it. They called it a turnover on downs, I'm fine with it. The worthy catch, was it a pick? Was it a catch? It looked like Worthy had established possession. It looked like he did. But when you have two guys hand fighting on the ground for the ball, it's a jump ball. You don't have that in football, unfortunately.
So the tie goes to the receiver.
Tie goes to the receiver. That's the rule. So that's kind of where it is for that narrative. But I don't know what you do to improve this roster. Do you go get a stud receiver? You tried that with Stephon Diggs. You tried that with Diggs. And it didn't work. You stripped it down. You got rid of Diggs. You let Davis walk. You have your two tight ends. You traded for Amari Cooper.
Did nothing.
Didn't move the needle. And then, what is unforgivable here is at the end of the game, where was James Cook? Where the hell was James Cook?
He stopped running the ball.
Why? They changed who ran the ball. Yeah, Josh Allen.
They were worried. They got a little too nervous, I think.
Z, I think at the end of the day, we're overstating the obvious. The Kansas City Chiefs are better than the Buffalo Bills. That's it. That's it. That's what it comes down to. We talked, I think, candidly through the week, and we asked the question, you know, did Josh have to win this game? Was this a must-win game for Josh? And I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets better than this. This is a Kansas City team that, you know, they've been playing one-score games all year. You already beat them at home. James Cook is a fine running back. You've established a balanced offense. Josh Allen's having his most efficient year. You went in there and you lost. See, the problem is he's not that guy, right? Josh is not that guy. He's not Joe Burrow. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Tom Brady. You gave Tom Brady the ball with 3:23 left. My man's going downfield and scoring a touchdown. I don't give a fuck about referees, play calling, nothing. I've seen Tom Brady go 7-for-8 against the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl on the final drive of the game to put his team up 28-24. No problem against the Legion of Boom. 7-for-8 he went on that drive, that final drive. Nothing stopping Tom. And it's just time to accept this is who he is. I think we've said it on this show many times. He's John Elway. He's gonna peck at the AFC Championship. He's gonna get to a Super Bowl. He's gonna lose. But at the end of the day, Josh Allen will win the last two Super Bowls, or the last Super Bowl he plays in, and that'll be it for Josh. And unfortunately, it's all predicated on the collapse of the Chiefs' kingdom. Come on, Z, after watching that game, do we honestly think that Buffalo was gonna have a chance against the Eagles? An Eagles team that put up 55 points?
I do, because I think the Eagles shot their wad. But we'll get to the Eagles in a second.
But I'm just saying, like, I didn't see that out of the Buffalo Bills, right? They were clawing from behind the whole game, and it was like, Dalton Kincaid, catch the ball, dude. It's not on him. It's not his fault. They did a blitz on that play that Josh was not even expecting. He even said it. He slid the line to the left. There was no chance this corner was coming, and this corner came, and he was on him fast. And Josh made a hell of a throw. A hell of a throw. It's just what it is, unfortunately. They're not going to get an opportunity like this again. Nope. And even if they did, Z, even if next year he has to go into Kansas City again, and if he wins, that's great. You're now 1-4 against them. You got three more to go, dude. And imagine if Mahomes wins this one, that's, he's got four.
Right.
You got one. I mean, listen, it's not bad for what Josh has become, because he's come a long way, right? But, you know, I think we were all expecting Josh to put on his cape and be Superman, right? I think we all were. We need that first down, Josh. Josh will run it. We need this throw. Josh will throw it. You know, at some point, you need the Xavier Worthy. You need the Noah Gray. You need the Kareem Hunt having a great game. He was, you know, sharing time with Pacheco, but he's taking that spot. It's Kareem, man. I did like the game plan. I just when it came down to go win the game, you didn't go win the game. And Joe Burrow goes down and wins the game. I believe he does. Jalen Hurts, I believe he does. I believe he goes down and wins the game. Tom Brady goes down and wins the game. That's just me.
The play calling at the end is indefensible.
They got nervous, Z. They got nervous. They were worried. They were scared. They were down and they were scared. And they turn to Josh, which is what they did all season.
So if they're going to get scared, then we're done. We're not. If this is what's going to happen in the big moment, is that they're going to get emotional and they're going to, because in the beginning of the game, what were they doing? They were chirping. They were going back. They were going back at the Chiefs. The Chiefs got under their skin, and they saw that they could do it because the Bills reacted. Who on this team has ice water in their veins? Who on this team says, oh, yeah, fuck you? Like, oh, yeah, fuck you. Watch this. Like, who is it? Who's that guy? Because certainly it's not Josh. Like, Josh Allen has demonstrated he's not that guy. Is it James Cook? Like, who is it?
He can't... I get why you're saying that about him. I get why you're saying it.
Somebody has to be that that steadying force. You can't have guys going back at the other team. Think about all those battles with the Ravens and the Steelers. It's emotions are high all the time. But eventually, somebody's able to kind of steady the ship. Whether it's Lamar, whoever. There has to be a steadying force. You can't play the game overly emotional. You can't do anything overly emotionally. You got to keep your head about you.
How about this? Xavier Worthy, they drafted him with the pick they got from Buffalo. Oh, man.
Shit. You think they would rather have Worthy than Keon Coleman?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if Xavier Worthy would be that much better in their offense.
But where do they go from here is the question. They got the running back. They have the quarterback.
T. Higgins isn't going to change shit.
No.
I don't know.
You know, Tyreek Hill?
Maybe get a pass rusher. Get a pass rusher.
Russo, they're not bad.
No, Tyreek Hill. Russo, I thought, played a good game. No, I don't think Tariq Hill is not gonna do anything. I don't know. But let's move over to the NFC. The NFC game got out of hand in the second half as the Eagles beat the brakes off the Commies 55-23. Saquon Barkley had 3 rushing touchdowns and has gone from villain in Philly to legend. You know, really in a year. What will happen if Saquon powers Philly to a championship?
He'll get a cheesesteak named after him at Pathogino's. I don't know what to tell you about that. But
I think he becomes probably the second or third most. He goes past Bryce Harper, right?
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
He hasn't won anything.
He probably comes third or fourth favorite Philly player in his Philadelphia player in history, right? I would think. He's not gonna pass Iverson. Or does he pass Iverson? He doesn't pass Iverson, right? He passes Nick Foles, I think. Because he came from the Giants, right? He's gonna pass Embiid. He's gonna pass that whole thing.
He's
right?
He's passed Barkley, he's passed, Lindros.
Would you say he passes Mike Schmidt?
That's a sticking point for me. Mike Schmidt won though.
Mike Schmidt did win, but you talk about all these other guys.
They didn't win. Mike Schmidt won.
It's the fact that he came from the Giants. He came to Philly. He might be the MVP. He could be the Super Bowl MVP. He could win the Super Bowl.
So he's Tug McGraw.
It's that caveat of it, Z. It's that part of it that's the sticking point, right? It's that part that in the lore of him. Because even if when he plays next year, it's not going to be as good as this year was. It doesn't beat this year. Everything he did. I mean,
he's probably going to win MVP. I would say that 2,000 yards. I think he's going to get that. And this just kind of cements the legacy.
First play of the game.
First carry. He's gone.
He took them 14 plays to get 3.
Yeah.
I told you. He texted me. They're shooting themselves. Look, this game was over. As soon as he ran 75 yards for a touchdown. He punched them in the mouth.
But you could have weathered that. You could have. We've seen that, right? One explosive play, and then Washington's back out there for 27 more plays. We've seen this
down, man.
We've seen this happen, though. Like, we've seen this happen in the Bills-Giants Super Bowl. That was the game plan. Grind them down, keep the offense on the sidelines, and whatever happens, happens. In this case, whatever happened, happened. But to me, yes, Saquon, like, that was explosive. Like, Jalen Hurts was explosive. But, you know, this team is a rushing team. This is on the Commies. The Commies had a chance. Yes, they got punched in the mouth. They did respond, though. You cannot turn the ball over five fucking times. You can't. The turnover the battle of turnovers, the turnover margin wins the game. The Eagles still have not turned the ball over, if I'm correct. They have not returned the ball over this postseason. Jalen Hurts looks fine, right? Knee looks good. He doesn't seem to have any after effects of the concussion. This team seems to be at its fullest potential. And it's at their fullest height of arrogance. As we note with their coach.
Mm-hmm.
If he delivers a Super Bowl and an MVP, then he equals Schmidt. He might pass all
right,
Schmidt.
So but you have him, he's below the doctor, right?
Yes. He's below Dr. J. Absolutely.
He's below Dr. J. But he's ahead of Chuck Bederek.
Yeah, right?
He gets ahead of Bobby Clark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put him ahead of Allen Iverson because he's going to win. He wins.
Right.
So he's top three. That's a big deal. That's
in less than a year.
Big deal. In less than a year.
In less than a year. Yeah, I mean, our Philly fans, hit us up. FaderOutMail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs. Let us know. Let us know where he ranks. And you're welcome.
I was
as a Giant fan, you're welcome.
I was disappointed in Dan Quinn because they couldn't take him away. They couldn't take him away. They gave up, I think, 7 rushing touchdowns in that game. They scored more rushing touchdowns than the Cowboys scored all year in one game against apparently the second best team in the NFC.
Just because they survived the tournament doesn't make them the second best team in the NFC.
In football, it is. Sure, it is. Sure, in football, for sure. There's no. This has been the way the playoffs have been for years now. This is it. It's not. You're not. It's survive in advance. 100%. Your team is supposed to be built to go through a rigorous season and a rigorous football season. I do believe that the Commies were the second best. The second best team. Who would you say was the second best team in the NFC?
I would say that it was the Lions, but the Lions got picked off by the Commies.
A healthy Lions team would have been. They weren't healthy, Z.
They weren't healthy. They had that's
over
true.
18 guys on IR, man.
21. Like, 21.
Their defense was beat to shit. They couldn't stop anything. No. They were on third and fourth string guys. So, yeah, I do believe the healthy Lions team was probably the best team in the NFC. This team was beat up. They couldn't. They gave up, their 45 points.
Yeah.
So.
To me, it was a little bit of a house money situation with the Commies. They weren't supposed to get this far. They were clearly out kicking their coverage here. It was a mismatch at almost every position. The Sam Cosmi injury, I think, really hurt them because the worst time to have any offensive line lack of continuity is right now.
I just thought they would have put up a bigger fight. I thought they would have put up a better fight. I mean, it's just, like I told you, I felt like it was over right after that run. I was like, holy shit. They don't have a plan. You got guys just diving at his legs. What are you guys doing?
Arm
you
tackling.
Hit this guy. He ran through the gap. Someone dove at his legs. Another guy dove at his legs. He spun. And another guy tried to arm tackle him, and he was gone.
You can't arm tackle Saquon Barkley. You can't
do this to this guy. And then the goal line, he starts out inside and then bursts outside. There's nobody there. There were so many times when he broke the line of scrimmage and nobody touched him. And he ran out of bounds or he ran into the end zone.
What about the shit at the end with Frankie Louvu? Where they were like, if you keep doing this, we're just going to award points. It's like, don't make me come back there.
Do it.
Just do it. Don't make me come back there.
You know what?
Son of a bitch.
You know what? Give them the points because they ain't getting it this way. That's the way I would have said it.
Yeah.
I don't care, Frank. Keep doing it. They're going to have to bootleg, throw, or let the ref give it to them, but they're not getting it this way. Fuck them.
Right.
Since
when is playing defense illegal? Like, Frankie Louvre's trying to time the snap count.
It's an unsportsmanlike thing, and I get it. But at that point, with the score being the score, no. Nope. Don't care. Give me the penalty. Kick me out of the game. They're not doing this. You know? It's almost like that play is so defeating. It's so annoying. I didn't care. It didn't bother me. It's like I said, it just bothered me that they just got routed. It looked like a commies team from like week 3 or week 4. It didn't look like the team that just put up all those points again. And Jaden Daniels, their offense looked sharp in the beginning. But then, you know, the wheels started to come off. I mean, at the end of the day, the Eagles are good. The Eagles are good, which leads us to the stage being set. The Eagles will be taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, the dismay of all of America, except for two states.
Yeah.
2 years ago, the Eagles lost to the Chiefs in the championship 38-35. Mainly, Jalen Hurts carrying that whole team. He even gave, I think, one or two touchdowns to the Chiefs in that one. The last time the Eagles did not have Saquon Barkley. But they did have Vic Fangio, who is 0-9 against Mahomes and the Chiefs. Vegas is giving the early edge to the Chiefs. Are you? Well, you don't have to pick your winner now, but tell us what you think of the matchup.
This is essentially Andy Reid on a bye, right? Because it's 2 weeks till the game. You give Andy Reid 2 weeks to prepare, there's nobody better. There's nobody better at given 2 weeks to prepare. Andy Reid will figure something out. Spags will figure something out. Now, my concern is how are you going to contain Saquon Barkley? You seem to have linebackers that can seal the edge. So that'll force him up the middle, in theory. Can your defensive line blow back the Eagles' offensive line? This is where the Super Bowl is going to be won. It's not going to be won.
Chris Jones against Mekhi Becton.
Chris Jones against Lane Johnson.
And Chris Jones against Lane Johnson.
Yeah. So, you know, Amenihu, Chris Jones. You know, what's going to happen here? How are you going to neutralize the strengths of this team? Because Saquon, without that offensive line, is still the giant Saquon Barkley. He needed this offensive line to put up these level of numbers. He needed to be in this situation to get where he was. Let's be real here. Giants fans, Eagles fans, he is not putting these numbers up behind Illuminor. He's not putting it up behind Schmitz. When Schmitz happens, Saquon goes up the middle and gets wrecked. You put him behind a fantastic offensive line. Do they have a little bit of a false start problem? Yeah, but who doesn't? That's who they're going to be. Juwan Taylor versus Lane Johnson over under on friggin' offsides. Maybe we can put a prop bet up at some place. No over under on false starts for them. But it's going to be one in the trenches. That's what I'm looking at. But don't discount Andy Reid. Vic Fangio 0-9. I gotta take the Chiefs on this, right? I gotta think that they've been there, they've done that. This is old hat, and we're only skimming the surface, right? I'm sure Andy Reid has something on that Waffle House menu that we have not thought about yet.
They didn't have a lot of trickery this year when you think about it.
They're saving it up. Yeah, they didn't really. They were pretty much a straight up football team this year.
I really think it comes down to the Kansas City defense against the Eagles offense. Patrick Mahomes hasn't been anything special this year. I'm not saying they're going to neutralize him, but I don't see him scoring over 30. I think they'll check him in that capacity. They're going to try to limit what they give him. And I guess they're not going to be blitzing. They're going to rush four. I think they're going to double Kelce, and they'll deal with Worthy. They'll deal with them. They'll deal with Gray. They'll deal with Worthy. They'll deal with Hopkins. They'll deal with Schuster. They'll deal with that. I'm curious how Spagnuolo is going to deal with Saquon Barkley, because the issue Barkley really presents is, you know, when they do the plays where they throw it to him in the flat or they throw it to him in the backfield, you can't really blitz on those plays, because if they run that play to that side, he is gone. They have outstanding linebacker play. Chenault, Nick Bolton, those guys are Will Tranquil is like another linebacker. He's not really a safety.
And Karlaftis, they're all really good. Karlaftis
is a really good linebacker. Like they have good line play. So, the good thing about the Super Bowl is I would expect it to be close, because Kansas City's been playing close games all year. So I think it will be an entertaining Super Bowl. I think it's going to come down to Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. That team. Right, it's those two guys. We think back to when San Francisco played the Kansas City Chiefs the first time. They didn't have McCaffrey. The next time they did have McCaffrey, same result. The first time the Eagles didn't have Saquon. This time they do. I think it's gonna be a close game. And I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm not happy with the result we got, but at least I know. You know, it's not going to be 21-35. You know, it's not going to be 42-10. Like, we're going to get the best of these guys, and they're going to be prepared. On the coaching side, I'm tipping my hat to Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
right? On the line side, I mean, both of them have outstanding lines. Thuny is just so damn good.
He's playing out of position, though.
He's playing out of position. Yeah. I was listening to Belichick talk to Andy Reid about Thuny, and they were like, we put him out there a couple of times, but as good as he was, you know, we wanted him to play guard, but he could play tackle. We just, you know, didn't want to do that to him because it's so hard, and he just does it and doesn't complain about it. And Creed Humphrey is outstanding. Like, they're an outstanding offensive line. So I don't see the Eagles getting penetration with their defensive line. You think they wish they had Haason Reddick?
How about this? Mekhi Becton and Bryce Huff are in the Super Bowl.
Love it. Love it. I absolutely love it.
I think they can get penetration coming off the right side, because Juwan Taylor's not good. Like, their right tackle is not great. So if they can run stunts, if they can kind of run wheels, they can kind of figure that out. Like, Jalen Carter should have a feast over Juwan Taylor. And the left side of the line, the blind side of the line, I think will be fine. But that's the area of concern. That's definitely a soft spot if I'm Andy Reid and I got to figure out, do I keep Kelce in a little bit longer, just a chip? Or, you know, do I keep Gray in? What do I do to kind of make sure that gets sealed up a little bit? Because Jalen Carter's a game wrecker, man.
Yeah, I just don't even know the last time the Chiefs had to play from behind. You know, I don't know the last time that they were really challenged.
Yeah.
So, like, Philadelphia, I can say, has been, prior to playing the Commies, I mean, they were really challenged all year. I don't know when the last time the Chiefs were challenged in that way. So if they're down can you get back into it? Like, what's your bag of tricks? Like, what do you got? You know,
right.
But it should. We'll see what happens.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
But there have been several head coaching hires. Pete Carroll going to the Raiders.
The Raiders.
And Aaron Glenn going to the Jets.
Poor bastard.
We got Liam Cohen going to the Jaguars.
Duval.
A lot of them had their introductory press conferences this week. Who, based on the press conferences, who would you want to play for?
Duval. No, thank you, Liam.
I was watching that guy walk around the Jaguars complex.
What the
fuck was that? He's like, this is awesome. My dad would really have liked this. They're like, oh, okay.
You're such a dork.
Do you not open the door? they fought tooth and nail for that guy.
You don't think they called the Bucks back and just like, hey, you want him back? We're having some second thoughts here.
I don't think I would have acted like that if I got the job.
Oh my god. He for his sake, I hope he's a fiery dude.
Is like, he gonna walk into a room? Are people gonna listen to him?
No! Trevor Lawrence is gonna be like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, trade me. Trade me. Oh, Jesus Christ. The only thing that's giving me pause about Liam Cohen is what he was able to do with Baker Mayfield. If he takes over the offense, if he's running the offense, there's a good chance that Trevor Lawrence is going to have a career resurgence. So, we'll see. Like, I'm holding out hope for Liam Cohen in the standpoint that his offense is good. Now, he does not have Mike Evans, he does not have Chris Godwin, he does not have Baker Mayfield. We'll see what he's got. Jacksonville's cupboard isn't bare. It's just, can he be a leader of men? I don't know. And based on his, like, youthful awe, we'll say youthful awe, as he's walking around a facility, it just left a lot to be desired. Of those three, we didn't even mention Brian Schottenheimer. What are your thoughts on that? Brian Schottenheimer being the coach of the Cowboys.
Who?
After all these years, we knew Shoddy would eventually get a head coaching job.
I'm just surprised it's now. Surprised it's Dallas. Like,
he's literally the only guy who would take the job.
It's interesting. So many coaches that are like getting a shot now. I don't really understand. His press conference was like, oh, good boy. Brian. You know, I just don't understand why you let go of McCarthy for this guy. That's what I don't really understand. You know, why not bring McCarthy back? What was the problem?
Jerry wants somebody that he can push around. Like, that is it.
You don't think he was able to push around McCarthy?
I think McCarthy just had enough. It's like, fuck, I'm done. Like, I went from Aaron Rodgers
to... No, he wanted a new contract. He's pulling himself out now because I guess he doesn't want the Saints job. He's saying he'll try to get another job in 2026. It's like, what did he do so bad? They were competitive all 5 years, even this last year without Dak. They were competitive. If you're Jacksonville, you didn't want Mike McCarthy? You'd rather have Liam Cohen than Mike McCarthy? if you're the New York Jets, you'd rather have Aaron Glenn? Aaron Glenn's press conference. Jeez. What?
We're the New York freaking Jets. We're built for this.
Built for what? Built for what? They haven't gone to the playoffs in fucking 14 years.
Oh, great.
Aaron.
It's the new all gas, no brakes.
Yeah. 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 Is that what? Please. We're not towing that line again, are we, man?
Well, congratulations to Salah, too. He's back in San Francisco. I think that's that'll be good for him.
You hired Brian Schottenheimer over Robert Salah, and I'm not a Salah fan. I'm just saying, yeah. Yeah, at least if Salah was there, you know you're going to play some defense, right? I don't know.
You hired Liam Cohen over Robert Salah.
Cohen interviewed better than Robert Salah? What?
And you're telling me that Brian Flores didn't get a job over any of these numbnutses?
You hired Liam Cohen over Brian Flores? Really? Over John Gruden? I know John Gruden's got some baggage, but really? That guy? Over Mike McCarthy? I don't really.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I'd rather pay for Carroll to answer the question.
Yeah, no, completely. No, we're in agreement. That's why why I'm dancing around it, because it's Pete Carroll. The answer is Pete Carroll.
Give me Pete Carroll, Stinky Pete, all day, man. Give me Stinky Pete. I love it.
He's got credibility. I mean, think about it. Marshawn Lynch was in the building, and it was like a ray of sunshine was in the goddamn building. So, like, he's bringing
crazy
Seattle.
Because he cost him 2 Super Bowl rings. Right. So he cost him the second one.
Well, you know.
He didn't seem...
Well, was it Russ? Not running the ball with Marshawn definitely cost him against the Patriots. But, yeah, that was a stupid decision. But, you know, Pete Carroll is the guy, right? Of these, he's done it. He's got the pelt on the wall. He has the resume. And you know that he's got the energy for this, right? You know that Pete Carroll is going to go in there with a plan. The other guys, I don't even know if they know what they don't know yet. I don't know if they've if it's really sunken in as to what they've gotten themselves into. Especially with the organizations they've gone to. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a dumpster fire. The New York Jets are a dumpster fire. The Dallas Cowboys are a circus. They're almost approaching dumpster fire, but that's only because of Jerry Jones. So it's a 3-ring circus with Jerry Jones as the ringmaster. Yes, Mark Davis is kind of an issue, but Pete Carroll's a fucking adult. It's like, son, go sit over there. Look at my Super Bowl ring.
Just listening to the Aaron Glenn the Aaron Glenn press conference is like, it's the same rah-rah shit that we got from fucking Robert Saleh, right?
Shows me you didn't learn your lesson.
Like, you can't have a rah-rah guy, man. You can't. Like, this team, you're coming in here with toughness that's great, but there's a lot of things that need to be done here. How about, you're telling me, the Patriots coaching staff doesn't look a lot better than the Jets coaching staff right now? They went and got Vrabel and McDaniels. And he went, and I think Mike went and got one of the defensive coaches from, I want to say, Chicago to be his defensive coordinator.
I think that's right.
What? And then I didn't even understand the Jets GM hire. Like, this guy was like a scout for the fucking Broncos. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
They didn't learn their lesson. They did not learn their lesson. Now, they also went, for the exact same guy. You're right. They went
first time head coach, defensive guy. It's the same shit.
Well, it's the same shit. Think about it. Out of their last, four head coaches, 3 of them have been first-time defensive coaches. Who was the exception? Adam Gase, right?
I'd love to know because I would assume with Aaron Glenn being there, that they're going to bring back Aaron Rodgers, right? You would assume that?
I would think so, but
if he doesn't retire... Like, that would be the biggest disaster now, right? If he retires. Because if he retires, now you have to draft a quarterback and you've got a defensive head coach again.
Right. You're in the same spot you were before Aaron Rodgers got here. But I wonder if that was also an issue, like, if that was something that was a prerequisite for taking the job. Because Aaron? Yeah, I think that, or having a plan in place.
If he does it, if he retires, or if he doesn't retire.
For both. You need to have a clear contingency plan for both. Whether that's signing Russell Wilson, whether that's getting Justin Fields, whether that's, you know, drafting a quarterback, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, whatever. You know, like, having some sort of answer to that question is critical, right? Because you need to plan for it. And if this guy, Mugi, I don't know how you pronounce his last name.
Mugi.
Oh, God. No. Oh, Jesus. If Mr. Mugi had that plan, then, and he could articulate it to Woody Johnson in ways that Woody can understand, then, yeah, okay. I think we're onto something here. But, you know, it's one step forward, two steps back, as usual with the New York Jets. Some things never change. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Now you have an even older quarterback, which is probably even more disgruntled because now his disgruntled buddy is there. Yeah. Just digging your own grave.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914.
But speaking of digging your own grave, Pete Alonso is still unemployed. The Mets have shifted their attention to first baseman Ryan Mountcastle of the Baltimore Orioles, as Pete Alonso apparently is mulling over an offer from the Blue Jays while waiting by the phone for the Mets to call him back. How do you feel about Ryan Mountcastle playing first base for the Mets this year?
He's not Pete Alonso. I guess I'm fine with it. I like the other idea of Vientos playing first and bringing Beatty up. But I'm okay with Mountcastle. This Pete Alonso thing has just gotten so dirty that it's not even worth bringing him in now. It's gotten so ugly that we all know how you all feel about each other. So let's not even force this. Like, go ahead, dude. Go play for the Blue Jays. And same thing. It's getting so ugly that it's not even worth pursuing anymore. What are your thoughts? I'm cool with Ryan Mountcastle. Because it sounds like Glad G's not happening.
Right. My question is, what's it going to cost me? What does Baltimore want? If it's going to cost you like a Brett Beatty, sign me up.
Yeah.
Brett Beatty is showing he's a quadruple A player.
Yep.
If they call up and say, we want Jet Williams, Drew Gilbert, and hang up the fucking phone before they even say and. You know? It's like, no. Go fuck yourself. Oh. Yeah. So, if it's a flyer guy, or a change of scenery, if you send them Jeff McNeil, maybe they would want Jeff McNeil. I don't know. You know? Like, he's a contact hitter. Change of scenery guy, maybe that would be something that would be enticing to Baltimore. I don't know. But if it doesn't cost you that much.
They need like a right fielder.
Starling Marte. You take Marte, we'll take Mountcastle. But something like that. Change of scenery type situation. I'm not investing my time. I'm not dealing off any of the top prospects for him. He's not a top prospect worthy guy. He's okay. Pete's got him in the power department. Like, Mountcastle had 13 home runs last year. So, he's going to give you some pop. He's not going to give you the pop that Pete Alonso gives you. Does that give you the protection in the order for Juan Soto? Is that as fearful Whereas, like, I got to go through Lindor, then Soto, then Vientos, then Pete. I got Lindor, then Soto, then Vientos, then Mountcastle. It doesn't strike fear. It doesn't do it. I mean, he's a fine baseball player, but I would need more.
Fine person too. Good guy.
Great guy. Great with children, from what I understand. Great with kids. Tips well. But yeah, it's fine. But I think you're going to be out there in July looking for pop.
But do you agree that this has gone far enough? It's fine, yo. It's just like, dude, it's a breakup. It's an ugly breakup, and it's okay, man. Like, we're not going to give you the money you want. Just go.
Mark my words. Pete Alonso's going to sign with the Blue Jays. He's going to fire Scott Boras, and in like 4 years, he's going to be back with the Mets.
You think he's going to... Well, no.
I don't think he's going to get a short-term deal. I think that's what's going to happen. Either he's going to get a short-term deal with opt-outs, or he's going to get a longer-term deal with the opt-outs. Either way, I think that the process has soured for Pete Alonso. In the same way the process soured last year for J.D. Martinez and Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell. Like, if he... There's a distinct possibility that Pete Alonso is going to go into spring training, which, mind you, is in 3 weeks. Right? Pitchers and catchers report in like 12 days. Position players are about a week or so later. Give or take. There's a possibility that Pete Alonso will go unsigned till that point. The longer this stretches out, the worse it is for him. So it behooves him to get a deal done with somebody. Now, if you're going to go to Toronto, and they still have Vladimir Guerrero, so you're going to be the primary DH, or are they going to move Vlad to third? Because Vlad does play third too occasionally. I don't Vlad as a long-term solution at third.
He plays the guitar too. He's not good at either of those.
I don't like that option. If Pete's not gonna, if Vlad is still on the team, like it's a weird mix. It's a good it's deep for a lineup purpose, right? It's deep for power. It's a good bet, but displacing Guerrero is not a good idea, right? You don't want to displace him, but you're kind of clogging up the DH too. So
I almost feel like Toronto has to do this. This is their move. Like, they have to sign him. Because otherwise, what did they do this offseason? Same thing with the Orioles. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, who's your bat? You got rid of Santander. Who's your bat now?
Right. Santander went to Toronto. Exactly. And
he wasn't even that great. He's not that great.
See, that's the thing. If the Orioles got in on him, that would be interesting.
Well, and Boston's not interested in Pete Alonso?
They were at the beginning. I think they were kicking the tires at the beginning of the free agent period, the hot stove. But I don't know if they still are.
Now they're fuck it. What about Bregman?
Yeah, Bregman's still out there, man. Well, apparently there was a thing with the Tigers. Like, that fell through. There's a very slim opening. There is a chance that he ends up back with the Astros.
But at this point, are you, like, if you're Pete Alonso, are you just assuming that Cohen's going to wake up tomorrow morning and just say, give Pete what he wants? Is that what he's thinking? Like, I'm just curious, what's the mindset? It is January 29th. What is the mindset if you're Pete Alonso? Like, they're eventually going to give in to what you want?
Right.
Like, they're going to have an epiphany one morning and just say, yeah, give him what he wants.
Well, how...
I don't get the mindset there.
My question is, how much is he doing the leading and how much is he being led by Scott Boras? That's my question. Who is really, like, dictating terms here? Is Pete being passive or is he saying, I want to be a New York Met, get this fucking thing done? Like, I don't know how the conversations are going. Because if the client says, I want to go here, get it fucking done, it would behoove the agent, because the agent's going to get a nice little
percentage there. So why would I dick around my client? So it has to be some, if it's not that scenario, then he has to be under some kind of like dream that Steve Cohen's just going to be like, okay, like amazing day. Like the fans want Pete back so badly, and I'm willing to pay whatever it takes to keep him because, yeah, no. David Stern's values mobile defensive players, right? Who can provide offensively. Pete is decent defensively. He's decent to good offensively. Good power, decent average. That's not going to age well. Pete doesn't age well on paper. He becomes your DH and he clogs everything up. Eventually, you're going to need that for Soto.
He just didn't have the year where he could be in a position to dictate the terms, right? He didn't have a judge-type season. He didn't have this monster season where it's like, yeah, we want Pete to be a Met for life. It's just like, well, you're good.
He lost all his leverage when Paul Goldschmidt signed with the Yankees. Like, yeah. Once all those guys went off the board, it's like, shit, there goes my market. There goes my fucking market.
Butt, Joe Boo.
Pretty much. And he's in this game of musical chairs, Pete is the one left without a seat. But along with Pete Alonso, there are a few other big names out there. You have Max Scherzer. You have Alex Bregman. Scherzer, strangely enough, also linked to the Blue Jays. So you have... that could be very interesting. But what are some other players that teams should consider signing?
Yeah, you know, the first one that I was thinking about, you might laugh at me, but how about Quintana? Like, he's not on a team yet. I think he's a decent player. Kind of surprised that he hasn't hooked on somewhere. How about Robertson? Surprised that he hasn't. I am so happy the Braves got Profar. That was the one guy I wanted them to get. And everybody's making fun of it. They're giving them a C+ for the offseason. I'm upset they missed out on Charlie Morton, but I am damn happy they got Profar. I like Profar. Jerickson Profar is a baseball player. I'm totally happy with that. Yeah, I mean, I'm Jack Flaherty's like whatever. You know, Scherzer's old. Well, he's gonna just play half the year and then not be able to pitch anymore, right?
Right.
Kaylee Jansen, I mean, he's good, but really, Jose Quintana, I'm surprised he had a decent year for the Mets. I think David Robertson is still a really good closer. Those are the guys. Oh, and JD Martinez. He's a professional hitter, man. He's a professional hitter, and I think he could have played more for the Mets than he did. But I think he's a damn good bat. I'd love to have him on the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, JD Martinez is a professional hitter. He is getting up there in age, and not getting in early with spring training really kind of messed with him. So he's definitely a creature of routine. I think that's, you know, that's kind of important. Flaherty, it really is all about the market, right? Because depending on where he is where he's going to thrive. He seemed to thrive better in a lower leverage situation. So he's a market-driven guy. He was much better in Detroit. So it's got to be a fit. He definitely, you know, it's mercurial in that regard. Ha-Sung Kim just signed. He's off the board. So, you know, you have a few guys who are still, you know, pretty big names that are available, and that's what's pressing to me. Max Scherzer, I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah,
no. Right? No, I don't understand that. I really don't think that's a good idea at all. But Quintana is solid. You know, having experienced Jose Quintana for a few years now, I think that that would be A-OK. But David Robertson is tricky because he's older. He's still a really good pitcher, but you wonder how much tread he's got left on the tire. So, you still have a guy like Nick Pivetta who's available. Like,
meh.
He seems
he's trash.
He's solid.
Fucking trash.
He's a solid.
Not as solid as Jell-O is.
Back of the rotation arm. You're not asking him to be a one. And getting him out of Boston certainly could help. And then you look at a guy like Verdugo. Again, fourth outfielder, spot starter, something like he can bring depth to a team, right? Or even to like some semblance of veteran leadership. It could work. Like, you didn't expect Alex Verdugo to have the start he had with the Yankees. And he kind of, it was a solid fit. Towards the end, he petered out. But at this point in his career, he's a valuable bench asset. You could do worse than Alex Verdugo. Am I saying he's going to end up getting a minor league contract? No. I'm sure he's eventually going to get something. But, you know, you see where things are. Like, Adam Frazier went back to the Pirates. Right? It's been 5 years since Adam Frazier was a Pirate. But they seem to be accumulating assets again. The A's. I'm sure the A's could invest in somebody. The Marlins could invest in somebody. The Rays could get some. This is cheap. Like, this is like pocket change type stuff. Right? A guy like Alex Verdugo on the cheap, low expectations. You put him in there in Tampa Bay. Maybe you got something there. So, it's only a matter of time. But certain guys that we're talking about are washed. And you got to stay away from that. The Bregman thing is just so weird. Because you figure the teams would want to sign Alex Bregman. You would figure that he would have more of a market than he does. I'm assuming that the Yankees are out on him. Because that seems to have dried up. And the Tigers are out on him. If he ends up back with the Astros, that is going to be...
It's not as bad as if he goes back to the Mets, though. I don't think there's a lot of animosity there.
No. It wasn't... there isn't acrimony the way there's acrimony with Pete and the Mets. Like, this is the Astros' move. It's what they do. After a while, she's like, yeah, we'd love to keep you. We really can't afford you. So, vaya con Dios. Right? They did it with Springer. They were going to do it with Tucker before they traded him. So, that's kind of their business model. But if they can get him back on the cheap, yeah, I can definitely see a reunion with Alex Bregman and the Astros.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
You know who I don't see having a reunion? Jimmy Butler in the Heat. He got suspended again, dude. This is the third time. I think it's the third time he's been suspended this year. You know what we like to say, Jimmy? Three strikes and you're out. That's what we say, Jimmy. But the season is about at the halfway point, and teams are starting to kind of see where they are and either fish or cut bait. The Kings have announced that De'Aaron Fox is available for trade. We know about Jimmy Butler. Phoenix should probably look into trading KD the way that they're going. Who would you like to see move?
Hmm. Yeah, that Jimmy Butler thing is getting ugly.
Yeah.
I'm worried I'm going to wake up one morning and just read on the news that he, like, killed Pat Riley. Like, oh, I really feel like that's, like, coming. Like, he strangled Pat Riley to death. Like, I feel like that's
this fucking
on
guy.
The horizon. I'd like to see KD go back to Oklahoma City.
Mm.
I think they could use him. You know what I think? Let's be real. I mean, it's not working in Phoenix.
No.
Bradley Beal's contract is untradeable, and he has a no-trade clause.
Should get his agent.
As good as Devin Booker is, I just think I'd rather have KD. So it's like, hey, we'll give you Chet Holmgren. You give us Kevin Durant.
Wow. Oh, wow. Huh.
Would you say that the Thunder don't win the championship with Kevin Durant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and that team?
I can't say that they don't win, but, you know, you are sacrificing a longer-term window for a short-term burst with KD. And, you know, check if Holmgren has fractured pelvis. I'm sure they can get more out of that.
Look at how good they're playing without him.
True.
And he's good, but he's not a scorer, right?
Right.
I mean, he's not a guy we're going to give it to in clutch time. We're going to give it to SGA. But if we have Kevin Durant and SGA, like, we're good. We're good. I'd be interested to see LeBron go to Golden State. I'd be interested to see Jimmy Butler go to Dallas.
Interesting.
That would be fantastic.
So Jimmy, Luka, and Kyrie together. Wow.
And Mark Cuban has made Kyrie a very happy man. Dude plays and is happy. Haven't heard anything about Kyrie not playing, not doing what he's supposed to do. And if you've seen him play at all this year, jeez, he's cooking people. So those are some things I'd like to see. Yeah, what about you?
Well, you look at a team like the Pelicans, right? And they're donezo. So who can you move off? Who can you move off of that team? Like, Brandon Ingram could be very interesting. McCollum could be very interesting. Zion's a pipe dream. But those two guys could probably fetch you something that's going to kind of reset your franchise. Zach LaVine is intriguing because he's a dunker. Like, what are you?
Dunk.
He's a dunker.
Dunk.
Who is going to take a dunker? I don't know. He's averaging 23 this season.
You don't think he would fit? I think he would fit in Golden State.
That would be interesting. Like, I just wonder what it would take to get him. Would that be the way to jettison Andrew Wiggins? I don't know. But he could be on the move. I want to see the package they could get for De'Aaron Fox. Because De'Aaron Fox has been a pretty good hand in this league for years, and Sacramento definitely can use another restart. We thought that they were ascending, but in reality that seemed to be an aberration.
We thought they were 2 years away from being 3 years away,
right? But as it turns out, it ended up being that they were 2 years away from being 4 years away. We were slightly off. That 1 year was an aberration. So if they feel like De'Aaron Fox could get them, you know, a little bit closer, that could be very interesting. I'm interested to see if DeAndre Ayton gets moved. I mean, what's Portland doing that's so, earth-shattering? So anybody that needs a big down low, maybe you could end up bringing in DeAndre Ayton. Bradley Beal is untradeable. Like, that's an off-season move. Like, you're not doing that
right now that's something that you're sitting down with Bradley Beal's agent and you're like, okay, what do we have to do to facilitate this? Because we got to get rid of your ass. Like, plain and simple, like, we shouldn't have gotten you to begin with, and now we're really regretting that decision. So I'm interested to see where these pieces go. And even somebody like a Bruce Brown or something like kind of an ancillary type player who could be an impact role player on the right team. It's got to be the right fit. And, you know, we've seen he's demonstrated that he's a quality player. And it probably wouldn't cost you that much. So keep an eye out for that. But the Jimmy Butler thing is just going to... the Jimmy Butler thing is going to loom over Miami until it gets done. And Dallas is very interesting. Like, I think that that would be amazing. Not only from on the court, but also from the standpoint of personality. It's another strong personality in the mix. How can they handle that? Now, Mark Cuban has done a great job of keeping Kyrie happy, but how is Jimmy Butler's insertion into the mix affect that? Does he welcome it? Is it something that he necessarily doesn't care for? Like, we're not going to know until it happens.
Well, I think he just wants out. And I think wherever he goes,
he's got to be on his best behavior.
He's going to give his best. He does. When he leaves, those initial years are great. But when he doesn't get what he wants, this is what you get. That's why for Golden State, it kind of makes sense because this would be your last. This is your last run.
Right.
We're going to get Jimmy Butler and we're going to make a run for it. And after that, you know, we're not going to sign Jimmy Butler. We'll wind up trading him. And then, you know, Steph will decide what he wants to do, if he wants to retire or, you know, what he wants to do. But that would be the end. You know, if he goes to Dallas, Dallas is a different story because you got Kyrie there, who's pretty much saying, man, if you play your best ball, they're going to take care of you here.
Right.
Because that's what they've done. And, you know, Jimmy's just not interested in playing in the regular season anymore. He's all about playoff basketball. But unfortunately, you signed a contract and you kind of got to play on your contract. That's the thing I don't understand about players. And maybe it's because I'm not a player, but you know, you signed a deal. No one told you to sign this deal. You signed this deal. How can I give you an extension when you haven't finished this deal yet? The deal that you wanted. This is the deal you asked for. We gave it to you. The problem is that in 2 years, this deal is over, and we don't want you here past 37. We don't want you. So what? I don't really get it. You know, we were talking about yesterday's money versus today's money. It's right. Like... But that's not... You signed this deal. Why'd you sign it? It was good then. It's not good anymore. Based on what? The market? Dude, you don't even play. You're not even playing. What team would invest in Jimmy Butler after watching all of this unfold? Because he pulled this shit everywhere he goes.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking at a team that has superstars that don't play... the Clippers... Go for it. Why not? Why not? You can go there and rot with Kawhi Leonard. Like, speaking of dudes who don't play. So, I don't know. Like, he's going to be on his best behavior, you're absolutely right. But is it worth it? I don't know if it's worth it anymore. 2 years ago, yeah. Now, not so much. But you're right. He's talking about, like, an extension for what he's done recently. Oh, if that's the case, then, you know, you're not getting any money. Because, well, what? Yeah. Like, what are you doing here?
He just wants an extension because he wants more money. It just doesn't work like that.
No.
Like, You have to give up a contract. Play to your contract.
At some point, somebody needs to hold players accountable to what they sign, for sure. Withholding service doesn't guarantee that you're going to end up where you want.
Right. Keep these conversations open while you're playing, while you're adhering to the rules, while you're being a professional. You're not being a professional right now. You're not acting like a professional. So why should we treat you like one? Like, what are you doing that would say, you know what? Let's give Jimmy his extension. How about Jimmy if you were the, you know, top five in points per game? Or right. How about if you were leading MVP go-getter? Then that's telling me that you... Okay, we'll have a conversation about what your value is beyond 37.
Right.
But not like this. No. Not just because that was old money. I want new money.
That's not how this works. The market dictates what you are. And right now, you're a 35-year-old malcontent. That's who you are right now. It doesn't matter how talented you are. Like, who is going to take on that headache? Who is going to send assets to Miami and better Miami to take on your headache? Even though, you know, it's that whole, like, I can fix him kind of mentality. Like, no, dude, this is how many times you have to see it. He did it with Chicago. He did it with Minnesota. He did it with Philly. He's doing it with Miami. He is who he is. Great talent. Wonderful talent. This is just what you have to live with. And I don't know. I don't foresee a team being able to fathom this. I really don't think that he's going to end up getting what he wants. How many more times, how many more incidents do there need to be before everybody just says enough's enough and washes their hands and walks away?
It helps you just smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artists, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Taking a break from sitting courtside at St. John's games, we have an associate with Riker Danzig, LOP, Jonathan Barrera, joining us on the show today. What's up, John?
What's going on, Dame? What's going on, Z? It's a pleasure to be here, man. Good to see you. I haven't seen you, I think, since we last saw each other back in 2006, 2005, when we were doing the Jets Fan Fest. Been a while.
What, it's been like 18 years. That's some crazy-ish, man. But I appreciate you coming on, and I'm glad to see everything you're doing. Been following you this whole time, and I'm proud of you, dude. You're crushing it.
Appreciate that, man. I've been like, likewise, been following what you're doing. I listened to a couple of your episodes when you told me about this, and I'm like, all right, I see where you're at, Dame. You're doing some big things. You're trying to make some moves out here too, staying in the sports world. It's crazy how like we were all invested in going through college that we were going to make it big in the sports world, and we all diverted and went in different directions that never ended up back where we wanted to be. But just right. Get to this. Just get to have a little fun with it.
Well, yeah, and then you've been doing the show for 5 years now, and we just like having fun. And I think we didn't end up in the sports world, but we all did all right.
I think we made it out okay. And I appreciate you having me on, man. It's actually I've never done one of these, but when you told me about it and told me what we were going to talk about, I was like, yo, I'm in.
Yeah, you're a legal analyst now. We're going to you. You're our guy. So listen, we'll start you off with this. You know, the transfer portal and NIL has drastically changed the college football landscape. Next year, we have Carson Beck is transferring to the University of Miami, where he's going to make $4 million to play quarterback. That will be more money than Richardson, Stroud, Jaden Daniels, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., and Drake May. So do you think there will be sports marketing firms that will devote all of their time and money to keeping college athletes in college?
Well, before I get into it, let me just make this quick disclaimer. Everything I say, all the opinions that I give to you guys are strictly my opinion. None of them are the opinion of Riker Danzig or anyone at my firm. These are just my opinions. Nothing I say today should be taken as legal advice. Again, these are just my opinions on what we're going to talk about today. Just have to put that out there just to cover everything. But you know what? I was thinking about that question a little bit because you were nice enough to give me a heads up. But I was thinking about that. And initially, my first thought was probably not, right? Because what college athlete is going to stay in school? Jaden Daniels, yeah, he's... Carson Beck is making $4 million, which is more than the base salary for Jaden Daniels, who is likely to be the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL. But then I started to think about it a little bit more, and it's kind of like, you know what? It depends. It all depends, right? Where is the sports marketing firm located, and what is their general, what is the market that they're trying to reach, right? Like if you're a massive firm like CAA, right, you're not looking to a regional student at a college to try to get them promoted to the local, let's say, Chevy deal, right? Because you're going to go after the top dog, the people that are going to bring in national, international money to you. But if you're a smaller sports marketing firm, right, and you're looking to promote businesses or get that commission from the smaller markets, let's say, for instance, Georgia, right? Massive, massive college football school, right? Massive college sports programs. But outside of Georgia and anyone who's deeply invested into college football, who knows any of the players there? You mentioned Carson Beck, and yeah, he's a superstar because of his following. But outside of people who are actually invested in Carson Beck and college football, who really knows about him? He's not getting, he was supposed to be a number one pick at one point. But now he kind of tailed off.
Yeah, he has a bad arm injury. Who knows how that's going to work out for him?
So that's now he's taking advantage that he's going to stay one more year. He's getting these $4 million. Who knows what he's going to do in the pros, if he's even going to get drafted like everyone predicted. So would an agency like CAA take him on at this point? Who knows, right? Depends on how he does this year. But if you're a smaller marketing firm, and your main demographic is the local areas, then of course you're going to push for that extra year. I'm sure someone was in his ear saying, hey Carson, you're not getting drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
You're not moving. You're not going to get that Jaden Daniels money that we thought you were going to get when you were the anticipated first round pick.
Right.
Why don't you stay in college one more year? We'll get you this X amount of money.
Right.
We're going to promote you heavy in our markets, and you're going to make whatever in your brand here in Miami, maybe throughout the Southeast.
Area. Yeah.
Because that's where our market is located. So I'm sure someone was in his ear telling him that this is where you're going to make your money, because if you come out now, you're likely a third or fourth round pick. You're not going to make that much. So what's the benefit to you? Meanwhile, you go to Miami for a year, you get $4 million off the bat from just Miami.
Yeah. And playing in South Beach. Yeah.
You're playing in South Beach and people are going to know your name, and who knows what will happen after that. Maybe you blow up and you become Cam Ward, right? And now you're a top two consideration pick, but you stay one more year instead of jumping into the draft like you initially intended.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. But
No, you're doing great.
Yeah, so I look at it like, yeah, there's so long as there is a market for the college athlete, which there's always going to be, depending on how big you're trying to grow your marketing team, you're always going to have that one person who's clever enough to think, hey, I can get $4 million off of this guy now. That's right. $4 million that I just made in income today for this year that I'm getting 10% or whatever percentage of, plus whatever else I make by promoting him throughout the region. Absolutely. Why wouldn't I do that? Because you're going to go to Idaho, right? Iowa, Purdue. These are big football schools that you probably know nobody that's on those teams. But I promise you, the people in Iowa know exactly who they are.
Oh, definitely. 100%. And then, like, sticking with college, you know, St. John's basketball has been rolling lately, baby.
Yeah.
They are ranked 15th in the country. They're 9-1 in the conference. So is there another team in the Big East that could derail their chances at a Big East championship?
You know what? I wish I could say no, but it's kind of like wishful thinking, right? Because you can never, despite they're not doing as good as they have been in the previous 2 years, you still got UConn. Yeah. Marquette is still number 9 in the country, right? I mean, that's going to be a big test.
Big game on Tuesday.
It's going to be one of the biggest tests for them, right? So is there someone that could be derailed them? Absolutely. It's the Big East. You never know what's going to happen. And you have these schools that have always been dominant in the Big East that right now they have to still overcome. You still got to beat UConn. You got to beat UConn there and here. You still got to beat Marquette. They can't beat Creighton. They still can't.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, going to Omaha, going to Nebraska on New Year's Eve, nobody's winning that game, dude. Like, you know, he's winning that game. Maybe when they come here, we'll have a chance. But yeah, your Georgetowns are better this year. Villanova is a good team. You know, it's the Big East is back. It's a serious conference, and it's not going to be easy. You know, it's every game is a battle. I know they blew out Georgetown yesterday, but you know, this year, St. John's, like, they're sleeping in the first half, and then they come on strong in the second half. That kind of play is really not going to work out in a Big East championship or in the NCAA championship. You got to play two halves. You have to play two full halves. You can't shoot 1-for-10 or 1-from-20 from three. You got to get to the basket. But they definitely have some talent. And Skip, you know, Pitino has really gotten playing hard this year, which is all you could ask for.
The one thing I will tell you that I kind of absolutely love about this particular St. John's team is they play defense.
Yeah.
They play. They work. Like, they'll be down 16, then they'll just put the clamps down, and then the scoring stops on the other side, and they always have a chance to be in the game.
Crash the boards. They grab rebounds. When somebody drives to the basket, they're all going after that guy, trying to block him from behind. It's aggressive. Really aggressive.
Yeah, and even Kadari Richmond now is starting to step up. Like,
he's a big dude. He's a big 6'7". He's a big dude. His shot is just so flat, though. It's just like, guy, you got to get some arc on that thing, man.
He's got that Brooklyn. He's got that Brooklyn shot. You know how it is.
Growing up
playing in the courts outside.
Yeah, there's no nets. Rim. You know, he's just going to the basket.
Yeah, you're not shooting.
But when that guy wants to go to the basket, man, he gets to the basket.
You're not stopping. Nope.
But yeah, we'll transfer over to the big game. It's set. The Chiefs will be playing the Eagles in a rematch of the big game 2 years ago. What will the Eagles need to do differently to best the Chiefs this time around?
I think their secondary has to be able to cover these receivers. I was watching the Bills game versus the Bills game against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And there was one downfall that the Bills had is that they just couldn't cover when it needed. It always ended up Xavier Worthy catching a 5-yard pass, turns it into 12 yards. DeAndre Hopkins didn't really do much, but who else? Kelsey catching the 12-yard pass. Like, if you have to be able to lock down the
I think Schuster had a nice game too. Schuster, like,
yeah.
It's like everybody always seems open on all their plays. I swear. It's like when they drop back to pass, it's like, oh, do I want to throw it here? Do I want to throw it there? We don't want to throw it. Everybody's wide open. They run these crossing patterns that are just natural pick plays. You know, the Colts are famous back in the day for running rub routes right at the line of scrimmage. The Chiefs do this like 10, 15 yards down the field. And you got Kelsey running into a corner, and he's basically like, I'm running my route, and I stop right here. And the guy has to go around him. Can't go through him. You try to go in front of him, and then you got Xavier Worthy already like 10 yards to the right catching the ball. It looks like nobody's on him. It's their scheme. It's their offense.
Absolutely. And the one thing that if you don't cover these receivers, you allow Mahomes enough time to just run around back there. And then once he gets out the pocket, he's running. And that's where it becomes a problem, right? Because now you're trying to stop Mahomes. You're trying to stop the receivers. And if you can't cover them, how can you blitz them if you can't cover them?
Right.
And
that's what you man. Yeah.
Yeah. You give Mahomes time in that pocket. He's going to break you down. You give him more than 3 seconds, he's breaking down your entire defense, and he's going to find the open man, and it's going to be a problem. And if the Eagles can't stop, and I'm rooting for the Eagles. I'm a Giant fan, huge Giant fan, but...
Giant fan rooting for the Eagles, wow.
And I'll tell you why.
And lives in Jersey.
No, you got to hear this one. We got to hear this.
I know. I'm doing this out of spite. I'll tell you why. I mean, and the biggest mistake the Giants ever did was allow Joe Shane to go on Hard Knocks, because you got to hear from his mouth how he ruined his opportunity to sign Saquon Barkley. And the way he did it made me so angry. Where it's like the devaluation of Saquon Barkley. And he wanted to be a Giant. He did not want to leave. But he just said, go ahead, go find your market, whatever. And it's like, are you kidding me? You have, and so what am I, and now, and I'm not going to now sit and say, I love Saquon. I've loved him since we drafted him, number 2, 7 years ago. And the way he conducted himself every single year with a terrible offensive line every single year. And yet he still came to play when he wasn't hurt. He played, right? To let him go the way you did. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for Saquon. When my brother laughed at me. He's like, oh, you're a Giant fan. How are you going to root for the Eagles? I hate the Eagles. I'm like, listen, I'm rooting for Saquon. He deserves it. He earned his way to get to the Super Bowl, to be the player that he was. And I am happy that... Despite he'll never do it, I'm going to do it for him. I love the fact that he's throwing it back in Shane's face, because he wanted to be back with the Giants, and they just said no.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not. So I'm absolutely rooting for Saquon this week. I want him to win a Super Bowl, because you know what? He deserves it.
Yeah.
For all the things he's been through being a Giant, right? He took a pay cut. He played last year with the hopes that, you know what, we'll negotiate. I'm not going to hold out. I'm going to come in.
Yep.
Played on a terrible team last year. And then you tell him, yeah, go test your market. That's the best you're going to do for this guy? Like, no, I wasn't with that at all. So I am definitely rooting for the Eagles this time. Go Eagles on this game.
Fly,
Eagles, fly at this point, man. Go Saquon. I'm rooting for Saquon this season. So that's my 2 cents, and I know there's going to be Giant fans that hear this and give me flack for it, but you know what, it is what it is. If you're a true fan of the Giants and you understood what this man did for us when he was on these teams that were by no means great, you got to give him it. What's the saying kids are using now? Give him his flowers, man. He earned this. He deserves this moment. So I'm rooting for him. I hope he does it. I hope he gets another 150 yards. I hope he scores 3 touchdowns. I hope he gets Super Bowl MVP. And then he gets a Super Bowl ring on his birthday, no less.
Yeah, it is his birthday.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying for anybody. And I apologize to any Giant fans that disagree with me on this, but that's just the way I feel. And if you feel any different, I mean, watch that Hard Knocks clip, man. It'll make you sour. It'll hurt you to hear everything that Joe Shane's saying on that clip.
And as a Giant fan, it doesn't hurt me at all, actually. He did Ugats for 6 of those 7 years. So, you know, vaya con Dios. And he wasn't going to do that with us. That offensive line, like you said, is absolute basura. So it's been basura and it's going to be basura. So it's one of those things, man. They weren't going to take that money and reallocate it to the offensive line. It just wasn't going to happen. So it is what it is.
You know what it makes, is what it is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you know what makes it so much worse is that they signed Daniel Jones at extension, and God bless him. They signed he had a great year, won a playoff game. He won at the time he needed to win. So I'm not going to hate on him for getting his money, right? But you cut the man a year, 2 years later. You released the man that you gave all this money to, that you said we don't have enough money to sign you now or to do anything else because we gave Daniel Jones all this money, and then you get rid of him 2 years later. Like that kind of, I mean, I guess I'm using the whole, like, my whole sports management brain at this point. It's like, that is a waste of money. Like, why? Why did you do it? I mean, but that's just, again, that's my point of view on this.
Daniel Jones is a complete waste of money. He's a complete waste of time. He was a waste of a number six pick, and he's barely going to be a backup in the NFL. That's just kind of where he is. Yeah. Part two of our interview with Jonathan will air later this week. Keep an eye out.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The NFL refs. Yeah. That favoritism seems to allegedly run deep in favor of the Chiefs. But that's last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right. So first up, I've got the president of the New York Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner. Recently, you said it's difficult to spend like the Dodgers. What? You're the New York Yankees. You invented spending. Don't tell me it's difficult to spend like the Dodgers. You may not want to spend like the Dodgers do, but you sure as hell could spend just as much as they do. Hal Steinbrenner, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, Dan Quinn, head coach of the Washington Commanders. You gave up 55 points and, was it, 6 rushing touchdowns to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game. Dude, you were supposed to be the guy that was going to develop the defense, that was going to slow these guys down. Oops. And you didn't. I'm sorry, 7 rushing touchdowns. 7. Will Shipley had one. Who's Will Shipley? Exactly. Dan Quinn, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number 3, Jimmy Butler. You are being so unprofessional by not living out your contract. You have now been suspended by the Miami Heat indefinitely because you were told you're not going to start because you've been walking out of practices, not showing up to team flights, and breaking every rule imaginable for the team. Jimmy, just go play basketball and there won't be a problem. You will get what you want if you just play basketball. It's like the old, like, little big league thing with Mike McGreevy. What's the going rate for a pitcher who can't get anybody out? How could they trade you if you don't play? If you keep acting like a buffoon? Get out there, play ball, and you'll get what you want. But you're not going to get it by
disobeying team rules and just being a problem. Start being a part of this problem and be a solution. Jimmy Butler, you are my list superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
All great choices. You can't really go wrong with any of them. So, I am going to start with the Buffalo Bills. Another year. Another what if. Another year. Another loss to the Chiefs. Another year. Another year we opine when Josh Allen will win the big one. Another year on the outside looking in. Maybe it's us. Maybe it's us. Maybe we're expecting too much from this guy, from this team. You thought Joe Brady was the answer. You thought jettisoning Stephon Diggs was the answer. You thought bringing in Amari Cooper was the answer. And it just left you just a wee bit short. Even with the questionable calls, you still ended up just a wee bit short. What can you do to get over the hump? Well, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, you guys have some soul searching to do. Buffalo Bills, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two. The Washington Commanders. D touched on it from the Dan Quinn perspective that he was supposed to come in here and put together a defense that was going to shut down Saquon Barkley, that was going to shut down the Philadelphia Eagles. No, no, no. That did not happen. Not only did that not happen, but four turnovers, three fumbles lost, one pick. Oh. You want to know how many turnovers the Eagles had? Squadouche. You cannot lose the turnover battle for zip in the biggest game of your season and expect to win. And don't worry, because you did. Washington Commanders, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Pete Alonso. Rumor has you have this contract from the Blue Jays, and yet you're still on the free agent market. Do you want to be a Met? Yes or no? If it's yes, sign the fucking contract. I don't know what's going on here. But the longer you hold out, the worse it's going to get. The longer you hold out, the worse your season is going to be. If the New York Mets are where you want to be, reiterate to your agent that this is where you want to be. Do not let him shop you around like cattle to the highest bidder. Because we've seen that. Mike Hampton, Derek Lowe, Kevin Millwood. He has a track record. If you need to stand up to your agent, stand up to your agent. If you want to be a Met, be a Met. If you want to be a Blue Jay, be a Blue Jay. Just make a decision. Because the negotiations are ugly. And it's not looking good. Pete Alonso, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.